All right, some great memories so far. Some of the phone calls, too. Look, the last two phone calls I took, one of them says, you know, actually, I didn't like Kobe. You know, I wasn't a Kobe fan, you know, when he was playing. And he said, just to listen to how much people appreciate and love and respect Kobe, he said it's, you know, killing his heart. And that's the thing about it, I would say. You know, and I think this happens. This is why I've always been saying this for the last 3 days. It's bigger than sports. It's so much bigger than sports. But the impact somebody can have, you know, this is when you really, really know somebody's impact is right now. Everybody just, you know, hurting, and I'm trying to think of the good times, and I think, you know, everybody goes through their own process of whatever that healing process is, you know, and you do that at your own pace. And I know for me personally, yeah, look, this is one of the, you know, it's incredibly tough. And then you're doing radio shows where you're talking to people on a night in, night out basis. I mean, it's extremely tough. But it's also, it's amazing to listen to people's stories, because the reflection that some people have, or even in the last couple of days when they said, Kobe impacted me this way and that way, and this is what I'll remember from him, all that stuff, man, it's like a complete different type of respect I have now for somebody that was already iconic and a legend to me, you know, the great Kobe Bryant. And I appreciate everybody sharing their stuff and sharing their stories, and we'll continue to do that. You know, I want to play this. Trying to think if I want to play it right now. Let me take a few more phone calls, but I got something that I want to play that I think Laker fans will truly appreciate, and I'll do this in a little bit. Bobby in Oxnard, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Bobby.
Thank you guys for taking my call. It's great that you guys give us, the fans, the forum to express our feelings, and of course our feelings have been down ever since Sunday morning. I'd like to share my favorite Kobe memory, and it was actually probably his first real highlight film, and it wasn't even on his first regular season game. It was a preseason game, and I want to say it was in Vegas, coming down the lane, doing a crossover and going down the lane and dunking on Ben Wallace, and I could just hear Chick Hearn in the back going,
slam dunk. Yep. By the way, you know, Bobby, when you mentioned that, I'm with you. That's one of my favorite moments too, because everybody's saying to himself, who is this kid? Who is this guy? You know, crosses over at the 3-point line and then dunks over Ben Wallace. And then you look at the bench and there's Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel. Everybody, they're all beside themselves. They're trying to hold each other back. That's a great memory to bring back to light.
Yeah, I mean, just that moment, I knew he was just going to be something special. And man, to celebrate 20 years of his basketball life, I mean, it's a part of our family that just, you know, they're no longer there. Knowing we're not ever going to see him anywhere, and especially in a few weeks for the Hall of Fame induction, your announcement, man, it's just hitting us hard. But he brought us so many happy moments in our lives. And every Laker fan looking forward to, you know, Christmases and wearing the Kobe jersey on Christmas morning, and Kobe shoes, me and my brother, and God, I mean, just for him not to be here anymore, it's just, I can't wrap my head around it.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you, Bobby. I know. It's not easy, man. It really isn't. It really, really isn't. You know, I don't think anybody obviously imagined that we'd be sitting in this scenario. And every night that we've been sitting in this scenario, you can't make it make sense, right? You can't. I've had trouble just, you know, you get reminded, you're in the middle of doing things. All right, what are we going to do for the show and this and that? And you look up at the TV and it's, you know, it's Draymond Green talking about Kobe, Luka Doncic talking about Kobe. Everybody's giving their memories, what that player meant to them. And it's just, so this really happened? You know, like it, you just, you're trying to play out all these things in your head. So I listen, I know it's tough, and I think we all kind of feel the same way on that front. But we'll try as best as we can to share the good times and share some of the memories. You know, we were so privileged. I started off the show talking about this. 20 years. We got 20 years with this just amazing, amazing player. And the amount of memories we have from him is remarkable. It really is remarkable. So we got to, as best as we can, try to be thankful for that. And, you know, obviously understand that it's a tough time. It's an incredibly tough time for all the families that are involved and everything else. So we'll continue to give our condolences to them as well. Oscar in Baldwin Park, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Oscar.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I've been hearing on the phone waiting to get you guys to take my call, man. I can't believe I'm actually calling in to talk about the passing of Kobe Bryant, man. It's a trip, man. It really is. I just want to keep it positive. Try to keep it positive. I just take your fans out there, man. You know, just, you know, keep your head up. That's what Kobe wanted to do. Kobe always talked about the dark times and embrace those, enjoy the journey, and, you know, because we're going to strive for that championship internally, you know. But real quick, man, I just want to share a basketball moment with Kobe. It was during his rookie year, man. The first 2-3 years of his career, actually, outside the championship teams, were my favorite teams with Van Exel and Eddie Jones and Kobe and Alden Campbell and all those guys. I really enjoyed those teams, and that's when I really became a Laker fan. But real quick, I remember a movie he did on John Stockton. It was the game that Shaq hit the game winner against the Utah Jazz.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That Shaq turned baseline. Who was it over? Karl Malone? It might have been over Malone or Ostertag.
Ostertag. Yeah, and that was the best game regular season I remember at the time. But he did a move on John Stockton. He gave him a couple of shoulder fakes, and then he did a pump fake, and then he went up and under there like a pole. He was in the poles. He gave him a couple of shoulder fakes, then he backed him down, and he went under on the other opposite side of the rim and laid it up and in. To this day, that's the most beautiful basketball move I've ever seen, and I was able to perform it one day against my buddy. He was like the big guy in the court that nobody could beat, but I beat him, and that was one of the moves I did on him. And I saw the look on his face like he didn't know, like, where the hell did I learn that from, man. That to me, that was the
learning from Kobe. That's where you learned
exactly,
it from.
Exactly, man. Kobe, man. Rest in peace, Mamba, man. And your little girl, man. That's what really tagged it on my heart, man. But if you're Laker fans, keep your head up, and, you know, God bless, man. Everybody have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. All right, I have two greats that I want to play in one clip. This one kind of, you know, it touches me. When I was looking at some different clips that I wanted to play, this is Chick Hearn with Kobe Bryant after his first career start. This is 710 ESPN.
Well, he might be only 18 years and 5 months old, but this guy can do everything that the veterans can do and do it better, perhaps. Kobe Bryant, last night you get your first start as a pro. How'd it feel?
I felt good. I felt good, you know, going out, you know, for the starting lineup. You know, I tried to keep a straight face and keep a serious look, but, you know, I couldn't help but cracking a little smile.
Do you get a little feel of palpitation?
Sure. Because, I mean, you're so excited to get out there to be in the game. You know, I haven't done that since high school.
Right.
You know, so I naturally get excited.
Speaking of high school, how big was the gym you played in at Marion? How many people?
About 500 people.
500?
About 500 people.
This seats 26,000.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
The last time we were here, you played, I think, about 6 minutes. I was looking at the box score. Didn't get in. It was garbage time when you got in. Now tonight, being in the real time, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is you have to make a contribution early on. You know, you have to go in there and, you know, produce right away and get the ball into the big fella, get Eddie some looks. And, you know, whereas when I got in there within the garbage time or the bench, you know, I really didn't have to produce. I didn't have all the pressure on me.
You had to produce Sunday, though, at Seattle. That was a tough game, pressure-packed. You were in the final minutes, and that bank shot you made from about 18 feet was a beautiful shot.
Thank you very much.
That might have won the game. Really?
Thank you. I got put in that situation. You know, I was thankful for getting put in that situation. That once I was in there, I had to go in there and respond.
Do you like pressure?
Love it.
That's why you averaged 31 in high school, 12 rebounds and so forth, made 50 points a couple of times in a game.
I guess so.
You ran the show.
Yeah, well, in high school I had to.
Did you have a big center?
I was a center.
You were the center?
I was Shaquille O'Neal, Lower Merion High School.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Blocking shots, pushing the break, you know, passing the ball and so forth.
You remind me a lot of Magic in many ways. When he gets a chance to flourish, put on a little show for the fans, you do it at the end of a play. Why not?
Sure, why not? I mean, it's there. Might as well give the fans something they can enjoy.
Right, absolutely right. Has Magic ever counseled you, ever told you anything about the game?
Not really. We really had the opportunity to talk so far this season, but you know, I'm definitely looking forward to having some conversation with him.
I know you've had a lot of conversations with Jerry West. I don't know if you know how good he was as a player, but he was as good as that ever played the position. Has he ever talked to you?
Sure. We've talked many times, whether it was coming off a screen for a jump shot or, you know, handling the ball in certain situations. Well, we've talked many times.
What about Shaq?
I mean, Shaq talk every day. Every day, whether it's in practice and he's blocking one of my shots or I'm getting a layup on him or something like that. You know, we're talking, we're giving advice to one another, we're pumping each other up at the same time.
He really, really is a nice man.
Yeah, he is. He's like my older brother.
You have an older brother?
Shaquille O'Neal.
How great was that that interview? Chick Hearn and Kobe Bryant. Kobe was just 18 years old. It was after his first career start. Michael Thompson.
And for a second, I'm on my way home after eating dinner at Fleming's. I got to eat, you know. You got to eat, keep your strength up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm depressed. I go in and out of depression over this mess. You know, one minute just smiling about Kobe and all the memories. The next minute, you're just mad and angry at fate. Mm-hmm. So why did this have to happen? It just seems so unavoidable, so avoidable. And I'm just depressed right now. So I'll get over it in 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so. But I go in and out of moods. And I just can't stop thinking about the last time I saw Kobe and Gigi. And then I feel guilty because I feel like I'm directing all my sorrow towards Kobe and Gigi when 7 other people died and what their families must be going through, their loved ones and their family and their friends. It's just as big as an impact and a tragedy for them too. So as much as we talk about Kobe and Gigi, we can't stop talking and thinking about the other victims, because I can't imagine what their families are going through. We've all had loved ones who've died and had to put up with it through natural causes. And some, I'm sure a lot of people are listening to us, had loved ones, friends who died tragically. And so have I. But boy, this guy was so special and so unique and so important to millions of people. And of course, the other victims were very important to their people, just that they're anonymous. But this is tough. You know, I just can't stop thinking about the young ladies, the young girls who died. It's just because we all have kids. A lot of people listening to us have kids or had kids at that age, and we just can't imagine it happening to our children. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's you know, MT, there's no other way to put it. It really is tragic. And
yeah.
You know, getting a chance, I will say this.
Mad. I get mad because it was avoidable.
Yeah.
You know, other helicopters, so I don't place blame, but other helicopters were grounded, and I just wish that helicopter was grounded too.
Of course. No, I know.
Yeah. And Friday's going to be a strange and a unique and a glorious and a sad and an amazing event on Friday night. When they honor Kobe, fans, I'm sure, will be chanting Kobe, Kobe all game long.
Oh, yeah. No question about
and,
it.
And it's just going to be a surreal, surreal atmosphere at Staples Center, like nothing that's ever been done before. You know, and Michael Jackson died, of course. It was crazy and unexpected and everything, and just had everybody upside down, just like this, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, I genuinely don't know what to expect tomorrow. I genuinely don't
Friday?
Know. But just in general, right?
Like, I mean, yeah, your feelings.
Just every day, right?
Your emotions.
100%. And even tomorrow, you know, Lakers will have their practice, and it's uncharted territory. You know,
yeah.
And it's just all trying to plan. You just can't. You know, I've walked in. This is the third straight show I've done, all in the evening. MT, I have zero script walking in. I'm just coming in and saying, you know, let's just turn on the microphone. Let's talk to listeners and fans, and yeah, I guess, you know, mourn together and try and talk it through with everybody.
You know, and I can't stop thinking about how much Kobe thought of my son Clay, who plays for the Warriors. You know, and I thought Clay was a good player, and I thought in my own mind he could be a Hall of Famer. But when you hear people like LeBron and Magic and Kobe say amazing things and how much they respect and admire your son who plays in the same business or works in the same business as them. That, I mean, I'm a father, so I'm supposed to think my kid's pretty cool or whatever. But when you hear it coming from someone like Kobe, about how much he respects and admires your Clay as a player, man, I tell you, that meant so much to me and meant so much to Clay that Kobe respected him in that way.
That is probably one of the toughest parts of this whole thing is when we talked a little bit about it off the air. MT, everybody in the league, Kobe's their guy.
Yes, right. Yeah, the only guy who wasn't guy. Probably was Vince Carter because he was the same age as Kobe, so Kobe was a peer of his. But everybody other than that, everybody in the league now grew up watching Kobe and admiring him and idolizing him. Even LeBron, who was 35 years of age. Kobe, of course, 6 years older than him, but Kobe was in high school. I mean, yeah. LeBron was in high school when Kobe and Shaq started on their championship runs. So, of course, someone like LeBron would be looking up to Kobe and go, man, that's my boy right there.
I mean, it's been amazing to listen. Today I listened to Draymond Green, right? Over mm-hmm. the last couple of days, you've heard Damian Lillard, Carmelo Anthony. I thought Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, he had mm-hmm. some amazing comments that were so genuine. He's born and raised in L.A. He's saying, look, I don't get into the NBA. Like, I don't care about basketball if it wasn't for Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
DeMar DeRozan, similar. You know, this is their icon. This mm-hmm. is the guy. These yeah. guys that, like you mentioned with Clay, and you mentioned this. Clay, that's his idol.
Yep, that's his idol. That was his idol. And his biggest thrill was being on the court against Kobe, on the court with Kobe. And the last time I felt like this about anybody dying who's a celebrity athlete, so to speak, was when Muhammad Ali passed away. He was 74, I believe, when he died, had a full life. And Ali was my guy when I was growing up. Muhammad Ali, next to my sons, my all-time favorite athlete is Muhammad Ali. Always will be. And so when he passed away, man, that hit me hard as if, you know, because I grew up with him, analyzing sure. him, went through all that stuff in the civil rights era with him. So I understand how people feel right now about losing Kobe, because that's the way I felt when Muhammad Ali passed away, even though, you know, he died through natural causes and had a full life. And sure. this is even a million times worse, because Kobe was only 41 and basically had just started the second phase of his life. It makes it even more difficult. And then lose his daughter. And remember seeing her a couple of weeks ago when she was at Staples Center with Kobe to see Luka Doncic play and to see how excited she was and the smile she had on her face down there sitting next to Kobe watching that game. I just can't get that vision out of my head.
You know, MT, I remember doing that that pregame show with you, and the following game, the next game, mm-hmm. I talked about how great it was to see Kobe wearing that WNBA sweater.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, you know, what a unique – Kobe can be an ambassador to an 8-year-old girl, a 6-year-old girl. Like, it doesn't just have to be to the guys. It doesn't yeah. just have to be to the men that, you know, he was living a life. Candace Parker mentioned on TNT today, she felt like he was just on his way to becoming that WNBA ambassador. An
yeah.
icon wearing a WNBA sweater. I thought that was powerful, sure. you know, with his daughter.
Yeah, he always supported that league, as do I. Always loved the league. But he was, you know, an avid supporter and spokesman for the WNA, promoting the WNA, do what he can to help promote and help those ladies
out. And it was real because of his daughters.
Exactly.
You know,
that's, she was going to probably be a WNBA player someday, and she was definitely going to go to UConn. Hmm. Why he would choose UConn over UCLA and USC, I'll never know, but he wanted to go back there. She wanted to go back there, and that cold UConn area, and Gino Auriemma, already recruiting her and expecting her to sign her, because she had talent. She was good. She was just not Kobe's daughter because she was Kobe. She could play. I've seen videos of her playing, and she was legit.
You know, it's been amazing, too. All the moments of silence that go so far past L.A., right? Today at AC Milan, an Italian club, mm-hmm. right?
Well, he was Kobe's part Italian.
100%. Yeah. That was his favorite team. Real Madrid did something like that mm-hmm. yesterday. Tennis players, top tennis players, wearing his jersey, or, you know, it's so much bigger than just L.A., MT. L.A.
Yeah, he was a world icon, just like...
Global icon, question about it.
Yeah, global icon, just like Jordan was. And of course, LeBron is, Steph Curry is, Messi, Neymar, all the superstars, Ronaldo, all the superstars you can name. Kobe was right up there with those guys as far as being a world sports icon.
What's your favorite? I know it's tough, very, very difficult for me to kind of transition to this, but one of the things I've done for the most part in the show is just talk about different favorite moments with Kobe, and I know you can go till midnight doing it, but What is one or two that stands out to you?
Well, Kobe and I used to talk privately away from all the cameras before games when I was doing my show with the Loose Cannons, and I'd be in the arena and he'd come over and just sit down and we'd talk and about basketball, different eras, different players, talk about kids, all that kind of stuff. So just little private talks like that on the plane. Greatest basketball memory or moment of Kobe is game 7 against the Celtics, and he won that game. He'd won 4 championships before that, but I think those four might have been empty if he'd have lost a second time to the Celtics.
Sure.
That game meant so much to him. Game 7 in Staples against the hated number one rivalry in sports, the Boston Celtics. He had to win that game. He didn't play his best offensively. Meta World Peace and Sasha and Lamar Odom, some of the other guys picked up the slack for him because he wanted it so bad. He couldn't even make a shot. He was just so tense and so intense for that game. But he rebounded like a crazy man and defended Paul Pierce and Ray Allen like he was like crazy. So he didn't get his offensive game going. 6-for-24, but boy, he sure did other things to help the team win. Passing, and that was a game. Because I was sitting there watching, and the Celtics were up 5 or 6 with about 2 minutes to go. I'm thinking, my goodness, we can't lose to the Celtics. I mean, losing the championship is one thing, and losing game 7, but you can't lose game 7 in LA to these guys. We got to find a way to pull this out. And finally they did, with him and Powell and Meta and Sasha and the whole crew, Derek Fisher. And that's my most indelible memory, that they finally found a way to beat the Celtics here. And so just so he could have, so he wouldn't be haunted by losing 2 finals to the Celtics. That just wasn't acceptable.
You know what's interesting, to have that as your moment, and I had a caller call in a little bit earlier and had the same moment. I feel like that's part your favorite moment because you know how important that was to Kobe.
It was. He'd won titles against the Nets twice, I believe, right? He won titles against the
Indiana.
The Nets twice, Indiana, the Magic, and then the Celtics. So those are the four.
Philly, Indiana.
That's right, Philly,
Indiana, and
the Nets.
Yep.
And Orlando, and then the Celtics.
Yep.
And all those other four are important. It'd have been sweet, but boy, that fifth one was the icing on the cake. He had to have that one. Otherwise, the filling wouldn't have tasted as good.
Yeah, that is that's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to put it. I've had listeners call in. MT, this was special. So a caller called in, and I'm saying, what's your favorite memory? He said the 4 air balls against Utah.
Why that?
And he just went on saying that's when Kobe Bryant started becoming Kobe Bryant. What he meant by that was it didn't matter that he missed these 2 shots and everyone was going to bash him on sports talk radio and TV. And then he had 4 air balls in that game. He was going to come back in the offseason. He was going to work again. If he failed again, he was going to work again. If he failed again, he was going to work again.
Yeah.
Kind of a symbolic failure wanted to go.
He didn't let that define him. He was just too determined and too tough, mentally tough, to let that be what he was all about. Plus, he was a young guy, and he was, what, 17, 18? Come on, who's going to hold that against him?
But MT, how about the confidence in yourself to want to take those shots in those moments? Because you know what probably is the difference between somebody who's good to somebody who's great is that confidence in themselves to be okay with failing. Kobe was okay with failing.
Yeah, I mean, all the great ones are. You've got to be willing to take a chance and willing to put yourself in a position to succeed or fail. And the great ones are not afraid to put themselves in that position. We all know who the great ones are, from Jordan to Magic to Kareem, Worthy. It goes on and on. Larry Bird, and Kobe was one of those guys. Tim Duncan. We've had some great, great legends through this game. And Kobe's definitely one of the top 7, 8 players to ever play this game. No question about it. And I said earlier, we always talk about who's the greatest player, and I get tired of it. And I think it's a great discussion. I love talking about it, but we maybe need to change the acronym from GOAT, greatest of all time, because most people say it's Jordan. A lot of people say it's Jordan. I played against Jordan. I played against Kareem. I think it's Kareem. Mm. And if you say if you're listening to me right now and you say you're Jordan, I don't think you're crazy. You're probably right. That's a great argument.
Somebody might say Bill Russell. Somebody might say Will Chamberlain.
That's right. And none of you are wrong. Mm-hmm. I just think we need to change the GOAT to the GOHT, the greatest of his time. Mm. The greatest of his time was Will Chamberlain. The greatest of his time was Kareem. Mm. The greatest of his time was maybe Magic. Then Jordan came along. And then came along Kobe after Jordan. Shaq, of course, would say it was him. And I don't blame him. And then after Shaq, and now it's LeBron. He's the greatest of his time. And maybe that's the way we need to phrase it from now on. Because all of those guys, Stu Lance and I always have this talk, and Stu refuses to say who the greatest is. He says, Stu Lance thinks it's a silly argument. Because who's to say that Jordan's better than Wilt? Wilt's better than Kareem. Kareem's better than Wilt. They're all great. You know, so I think the greatest of the greats.
I think you got something there.
Yeah, I think we should just start saying the greatest of his time. Tom Brady, greatest of his time.
Sure.
Joe Montana was. Muhammad Ali was, of course, and there was Sugar Ray Robinson before him. So I just, you know, Kobe deserves, and I think Kobe gets overlooked too much when you talk about the greatest players ever. They talk about mostly Jordan and LeBron, and they might mention Kareem now. Kobe never gets mentioned anymore.
MT, I think Kobe's impact is going to live for a very, very long time, and it's been amazing, amazing to see these last couple of days. Just the outpouring, like you mentioned, for everybody.
Yeah.
And we can never forget that there were a number of tragedies in one day. That
nine of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Those people's lives were just as valuable.
Of course.
And just as meaningful.
No question about it.
The people who loved them and cared about them. All right, let me get out of here, and down to 405 should be cleared out right about now. If I leave here now at 8:12, take me about 15 minutes to walk to my car with my bad hip, even though it's only like a block away. Quit laughing. You wait till you get to be my age, 64. And so if I'm in my car by 8:20, I should be pulling into Capitol Beach around about, I would say, 8:20, 9:33.
All right. MT, thank you for
I'll see you Friday. It's going to be a crazy night.
Yes, sir. Will do. Stay right here. Your phone call's coming up next. This is 710 ESPN.
One last thing, in kind of a lighthearted note. You know, I didn't see him very much, and obviously players, even though all you guys, Dwayne, I know you a little bit. Certainly know those two gentlemen a lot more. Reggie, see you a lot more. Kenny, see you a lot more. But, you know, he, this Black Mamba, and I saw him at an event here at the Forum. And I said, Kobe, I said, do you know that the mongoose kills the Black Mamba every time? He looked at me and he says, not this Black Mamba. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard him say.
Great story there from Jerry West on TNT a little bit earlier. By the way, there were some incredible interviews. Shaq, Jerry West, and they're talking about Kobe Bryant. They're long, extended versions, so... you know, if I don't get a chance to get to them tonight, or I'm only playing kind of bits of it, go on YouTube. I'm sure TNT will replay it. I know Mason in Ireland, you go on their podcast, they played a few of those clips, so you can feel free to tune in. All right, let's go to Johnny in Norwalk. You're on 710 ESPN. Thanks for calling in, Johnny. Johnny, can you hear me, buddy? All right, let's go to Ron in Fullerton. Ron, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for calling in.
I just wanted to say my favorite memory and a couple other things real quick. My favorite memory, of course, was the 2010 series against the Celtics. I actually went to the ticker tape parade with my buddy Carlos, and that was a heck of a memory. Hmm. But I also wanted to – you guys were mentioning how Kobe – brought into light the WNBA with his daughter and stuff like that. He not only did that, but I am also a friend on social media of a wheelchair basketball player. And he was there at one of her training events and actually did a speech promoting her and some other players. And so he was actually helping them and, you know, having a discussion with them about, you know, people need to, you know, not just pay attention to the big sports, you know, like baseball, basketball.
Sure.
But
to appreciate, about, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to appreciate, you know, something that doesn't get televised or, you know, not people know about. But he was actually there, you know, helping them train and doing all kinds of stuff like that. So that's the type of guy that Kobe was.
Appreciate it, Ron. Thank you. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. If you guys want to give your favorite Lakers memory, I'm sorry, your favorite Kobe memory, you know, 20 years playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, trying to just kind of reflect a little bit, you know, look a little bit back. And we were so honored to get the opportunity and the privilege to watch one of the icons do it on a night-in, night-out basis. I've mentioned this a couple different times. Think about it. You know, when Kobe would go to Phoenix, those fans there only got to watch him twice a year. When he'd go to Detroit, it was once a year. When he'd go to Philly, it's once a year. For us, for Laker fans, we got him night in and night out. So if you want to share one of your favorite Kobe memories, feel free to do so. Greg in Alhambra. First of all, Greg, appreciate you waiting an hour and 23 minutes to be a part of the program. Go ahead, bud. The floor is all yours.
Of course, Alan. I'm getting choked up watching this TNT special. Just beautiful words from Derek Fisher and Rick Fox. But, you know, first thing I want to say is rest in peace to Kobe, my hero, my idol. My heart is broken and my soul is destroyed. And my childhood is gone and a piece of me is gone. And, I'm, you know, over the days of through crying, I've just been flooded with many memories. But the one that really sticks out is the 2010 season when we beat the Celtics, but during the regular season when he hit six game winners over Dallas, Boston, Sacramento, Memphis, Miami. And I remember
he was on a tear. He was going through the league.
Yeah, and I remember to a T exactly where I was for each of those game winners and who I was with. And when me and my friends gather, we still talk about those memories of us going crazy. And it's just a sad day to know that he is not here with us anymore. And, you know, I don't know where him and Gianna are in the afterlife, but God bless them. And my advice to the spiritual realm, echoing the great words of Kevin Harlan and Mike Breen, is buckle up for Kobe Bryant because he had no regard for human life.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Greg. You know, everybody's got a different story. That's the beauty of kind of reflecting a little bit. Is I might share one story and forget. You know, you remind me of another story. You bring me back to something else that I forgot about. And that's, look, that's part of this too. Part of this is bringing back some of those memories because we do know where we were. We do know who we were with. And some of those unbelievable moments that Kobe gave us over his time as a Laker, does kind of takes us back a little bit. And it helps us reflect on really special moments that will be with us forever. Todd in Moore Park, you're on 710 ESPN. Todd, another one that waited over an hour. Appreciate you waiting that long, Todd.
Thank you. Just before I share my Kobe moment, I just want to echo some of the previous callers that I wasn't necessarily a Kobe fan. I didn't grow up a Lakers fan. And in these past 48 hours, I've been a complete wreck. And I'm not exactly sure why, and you know why this man had such a big impact on me. And after some reflection, I feel like I can go back and trace it to one of those moments where I kind of did a 180 Kobe, because at the time I didn't like him at all. I was a big Jordan fan growing up. And I just remember, you know, clearly the 2004 Olympics, where the U.S. faltered. You know, we had that really, really disappointing Olympics, and we had all the stars on the team, you know, Duncan, Wade, Iverson, LeBron, and there's one guy that wasn't on that roster.
Absolutely.
And that was Kobe. And then in 2008, I mean, I don't know if you remember that finals game against Spain.
Yeah.
But Spain, I mean, they had a great team. They had the Gasol brothers and Rudy Hernandez and Rubio, and they lit it up. And Kobe didn't necessarily have the best game, but I just remember thinking in the fourth quarter when it was coming down to it, and Spain didn't go away. They just kept coming at us. I just remember thinking, get the ball in Kobe's hands. And this is a guy I didn't like at all. And I was just like, get the ball in this guy's hands, because there's no way that Kobe's going to let the U.S. lose this game. It's just like I had 100% faith.
Todd, it was closing time.
It was closing time, and mm-hmm. he hit the big shots, and he had two big assists. I remember that. Mm. And it was like everyone else kind of, you could almost see the other players on the U.S. like defaulting to Kobe, deferring to him, and like they were tensing up a little bit, but it was like he's the man. And from that point on, I've just, as a basketball fan and a sports fan, I've had just the ultimate respect for him. And so that really stands out to me as my moment.
Appreciate it, Todd. Appreciate that. It's closing time. Everybody knows what happens when it's closing time. You get the ball in Kobe Bryant's hands. More of your guys' phone calls. We come back. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN. All right. We appreciate you guys continuing to tune in. This is 710 ESPN. By the way, just a quick heads up. So tomorrow I'll be back on 6:30 to 9. Thursday as well, 6:30 to 9. Local coverage will start tomorrow at 6 a.m. with Travis, with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. So obviously, you know, look, these are difficult circumstances for everybody. And it's just kind of part of what I think we all need to do and what we all should do. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. And then also just being a part of the show. All the great callers that we've had that have been a part of it. Guests that came on. Elgin Baylor was on a little bit earlier yesterday. Jamal Wilkes and AC Green. I'm just referring to, you know, the shows that I've done. Bill Plaschke. So we appreciate everybody being a part of this. Johnny in Norwalk, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey guys, hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'm sorry if my voice is cracking and everything. I just wanted to send the condolences to the families involved and everything like that. You know, one of my greatest Kobe moments, you know, was dating back to the 2001, 2002 semifinals against the Spurs. And, you know, back then, those playoff days, it ran through the Spurs. And that was a series that feared me the most because they were the Popovich's, you know, team. And, you had to be fundamentally sound against those guys. They grinded everything out. They boxed out. They rebound. They just did everything right. And in order to beat those guys, you had to be on your A game. So the one play that sticks out to me was Game 4 of those semifinals on the road in San Antonio. And, you know, it was coming down the last 2 minutes of the game and we're trailing and Kobe's got that ball, you know, at the, 3-point line above the free throw line, you know, and, he dribbles it off his leg and Fisk picks it up on the wing, on the deep wing. And he had no choice but to take a step and shoot it.
Who got the rebound?
Who got the rebound? my boy, he reached way back behind his head. One dribble on the ground, put it up over the general and over Tim Duncan, and the Lakers took the lead right there.
Johnny, it's closing time. Come on. You know what happens during closing time.
Oh, yes, sir. And that stuck in my head, and that was before the Mamba mentality ever came out, but he had that in him. Mm. And I instilled that in my nephews and in my brother and in now my two daughters that you got to get down and dirty if you want it.
Johnny, appreciate you sharing that memory, man. Of course we remember that game. There were games that Lakers were winning championships, those three championships that they won in a row, and Shaq got three finals MVPs. And so much credit was going to Shaq, myself included. You know, everybody, this goes through Shaq. Everything goes through Shaq. There were critical moments in every one of those, whether it was in 2000, 2001, 2002, doesn't matter. There were critical moments. We don't win championships if Kobe Bryant isn't Kobe Bryant. And there would be times where Shaq would foul out. You guys remember that look on his face when Shaq would foul out? He'd just kind of look at everybody. He'd hit a big shot, and he'd put both of his hands kind of towards his hips. Everybody, relax, relax, calm down. I'm Kobe Bryant. You know, that's kind of the... those are the memories that you remember. And then he started doing it all on his own. But you mentioned that Spurs series. Of course, that was that actually is one of my favorite moments with him as well. Grabbing that rebound after Derek Fisher misses the shot and goes up with it. All the Spurs are looking around. Where'd this guy come from? Where'd he come from? Alexander in Redondo Beach. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Alexander.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
It's been a rough couple days, so I appreciate you allowing me to come on and talk about some favorite moments. And I also wanted to tell all the Laker fans out there that I went to LA Live today, and it was super cathartic for me and really helped me get over a couple days of really just really sad times. So if you have an opportunity to go down there, I encourage everybody to go down there, and it's really a celebration going on down there versus a memorial, and it was really cool to see that.
Alexander, before you get into your favorite Lakers memory, give everybody just kind of paint them the picture of what is going down in LA Live. And if you were just down here, I know I mentioned Jesse and I were out there yesterday, but tell everybody what to expect when they get down there. And for those who are not 100% sure what's going on, paint them a little bit of a picture.
So what's really interesting is as you're approaching the Staples Center, it almost looks like there is a Laker game going on. The hot dogs are out there. Mm. The people are selling shirts.
Purple and gold everywhere.
Purple and gold roses. I've never seen a purple rose before. Those are out there. Mm. And then you start looking at the shirts that are being sold, and they're memorial shirts. You know, they're rest in peace shirts, peace shirts. And then as you get closer, like, just the smiles are everywhere, and people are taking photographs. There's giant boards that you can write your notes and your memories and your wishes on, and people are writing on the ground. The ground, it's like a, I don't know, it's a giant tile. There's a bunch of tiles of people writing their memories, and people are chanting Kobe, and there's a basketball hoop out there, and it really is, it's a sight to see of people who are not just from LA. You can tell that there are people from all over the place who've made almost the pilgrimage to
pay their respects.
Yeah, to pay their respects.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that, and I'll just tell Laker fans. So, if that's something you guys are interested in doing, it's right across the street from Staples Center, right in the middle of LA Live. Go ahead with your memory.
All right. So, you know, there's obviously tons of memories of Kobe doing amazing things, but you know, the NBA is full of amazing athletes that do amazing things, and there were a couple times where Kobe just did some just ridiculous stuff that. You obviously walking out and hitting two free throws when you tore your Achilles is pretty ridiculous, but there was one game that I just can never forget where he pump faked at the 3-point line, got the guy in the air, which is classic Kobe going up to get the foul, and the guy came down on his right shoulder and I think sprained his shoulder, and he went they took the ball, they went down, and they got it back, and then he went running down the court dribbling with his left hand and his right hand hanging over down on the ground until he got fouled, and then he went up and shot two free throws with his left hand until Phil Jackson decided it was too ridiculous. He needed to come out of the game, and I just thought that game was probably meaningless, but to him, it meant so much that he was going to stay in the game and play with one hand, his off hand, just to win the game, and I just thought that's not normal. That's not what a normal NBA star does. That's a crazy person. And I think that's what we all loved about him, was that he'd
lay it all out on the line. He'll do whatever it took to get the W. And Alexander, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that story. I'll say this, and you guys have probably heard me do this throughout all these Laker broadcasts when I do a pregame show with MT, right? How many times do I tell Michael Thompson, we go through the injury report, and I'm like, well, this player, he's got a banged up shoulder or a dislocated finger or whatever it is, whatever the injury is. And MT always looks at me and he churns. What do you think Kobe would do? As in basically he's saying, you know, these players that are taking this off or that off or they're out for whatever the case is, he always compares them to Kobe. He really does. He complains or he compares them to not just one of the greatest to ever do it, but one that decided, you cannot find a way to get me off this court. And he proved that over 20 years. More of your guys' phone calls. We come back. This is 710 ESPN. Steven in University City. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, Alan. How's it going, man?
Good, man.
Thank you for your call. I'm sorry. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show all the time. I think I'm saying this for the rest of Laker Nation. You're a great representative of Laker Nation on the radio. We love what you do.
Appreciate it.
You know, this is obviously a really tough time for everyone. I think Sunday was more shock more than anything. It really started to hit you yesterday. I know it hit me at work. It's been hitting me the whole day, but I'm just trying to push through it, to have that moment mentality that Kobe wants all of us to have. As far as a favorite memory, there's so many. I'm extremely fortunate that I was able to meet him a little over a year ago, and I'm very glad I took the opportunity to do so. But I'm going to go to a quote, one of his favorite quotes, or one of his most well-known quotes, I think. And this was actually, it was game three of the 09 finals against the Magic. And that was the one game, that series, that the Lakers lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a super close game. He missed a free throw towards the end that pretty much sealed the win for the Magic. And I remember I was watching the post-game presser, and there was a reporter that asked him, if he had hit a wall, and it was amazing to me. It was a two-part question. He answered the first part. I forgot what the first part was. but then the second part, Kobe said, he's like, as far as me hitting the wall, so what if I did? Hmm. And then the reporter says, because, and Kobe's like, because I'll run straight through it. And I think, that right there, that encapsulates Kobe Bryant right there. His determination, his resiliency, his focus. we're just so blessed to have had him. The Magic were thinking, oh, yeah, we got a game, and Kobe's like, it's 2-1 right now, but you're not getting another game in the series. This thing's over.
Steven, it's interesting because there's stuff you guys are bringing up that I forgot. Like, you think, oh, I'm a Laker fan. I know all these memories. You don't have to tell me. But there's small ones that you forget. I mean, that game three, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Of course, I know Lakers won 4-1. I know game four was a critical one. We won in Orlando. But I forget things like that. Reporter asked him that question. Have you hit a wall? I'll go right through that wall. So I appreciate you sharing that story. And I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans where, we think there's not a memory we forgot. No, some of those need to be retold. So that's a great one to remember. Jeff in Tarzana. Jeff, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Jeff. You there, Jeff?
Jeff in Santa Ana?
Oh, Jeff in Santa Ana. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead, buddy.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it.
I had a quick Kobe anecdote and then a brief kind of thought about the totality of things. But so I grew up in Newport Beach, and it was probably a decade back. My mom stopped to get some gas by Gelson's down Fashion Island.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how there's like a little automatic latch that keeps your gas pumping?
Yep.
All right, well, the thing won't work. And knowing my mother, she's probably cussing at it. And from across the other side of the gas pump comes Kobe. And Kobe sits there, holds my mom's gas pump for her, pumps my mom's gas, and just sits there and chats with her and is just lovely. And this is just kind of how Kobe was down in that community, man. And I just thought it was a cool little anecdote about, him being a real dude, just beyond all this, beyond all the
how we defined him, right? We defined him exactly. As this icon, this great, and at the end of the day, he's just a regular person.
Exactly. And then the other thing I wanted to say really quickly, Alan, before I got off the air is, I'm not sure that I've seen anything that unified everybody this much before. Not for a long time, maybe 9/11 or something along those lines. But to that point, I hope we can get something good from this. And I really want to thank, when it comes to you or the Cam Brothers or the Morning Show or
Mason and Ireland
or anybody else, or honestly, Bristol, or I don't know if it's Boss Betty Pants we should be thanking, but the fact that we get to have our local guys on with us right now has meant so damn much to me. And I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time getting through this, but I really want to express to you guys, like, you know, you guys do such a good job at making us all feel like family. And at a time like this, you know, you guys are our damn family, our Lakers family, and it really means a lot. So thank you.
Jeff, I appreciate you saying that, but it's, you know, it's the least we can do. Honestly, it's the absolute least we can do. This is our duty. This is exactly what we should be doing. And, you know, some of those names in there, Amanda Brown, Greg Bergman, Tim McCarthy, Scott McCarthy, a lot of people behind the scenes. And then, of course, everybody that you hear on air, the people that are just on the other side of this window. Laura, Jesse, Funches. I mean, there's a ton of people. Mario, Chris Morales. There are so many people that, you know, obviously are putting this together. And like I said, this is what we're supposed to be doing. But we do appreciate you saying that. Let's go to Rod in Irvine. Rod, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Rod. Rod, is there a favorite Kobe moment that you want to share?
Hey, Alan. Actually, yeah, I do. I want to kind of share one of the best days of my life was when I actually work and live in Orange County. So I was very fortunate to run into Kobe quite a lot, a handful of times, actually. And a lot of times, you know, I was very nervous because, you know, it's the Black Mamba. To just go up to him and just talk or just say hi. So just, you know, growing up, big Laker fan, I had my son. And, you know, since day one, you know, I had him in a Kobe jersey just because we loved, you know, just sitting there watching him on TV with the family. And, you know, he ended up growing up to be a big Kobe fan. And, you know, I always wanted, my dream was for, you know, my son to meet him. Because he grew up idolizing him, so did I. The best moment I ever had was just really one time. You know, me and my son, we saw him at a gas station, and he was on his phone. He had his AirPods on, so I couldn't tell if he was on the phone or not. So we walked up to him, and we're like, "Hey, Kobe, could we get a picture?" And he kind of just smiled and kind of brushed us off. I think he was on a phone call. So we were a little bummed that day, to tell you the truth, but. It was Kobe, so we're like, you know what? It's Kobe, man. He's on the phone. You know, he's probably doing his thing. But my son was a little bummed out. He was about 4 years old at the time. So I sent him a message on Instagram just letting him know. I'm like, hey, man, we ran into you today. We saw you at the gas station. We were a little bummed out, especially my son. You know, he's four. He's been watching you since, you know, he could start watching TV and figured out what basketball was. He's been watching you. And I was like, you know what? Next time if we see you, it'll be cool if we get a picture. If not, I totally understand. You know, you're handling probably some business over the phone. So a month later, luckily, we ran into him again. And he was with my wife, and he took a picture with my wife and my son. Mm. And as he was walking out, I thanked him, and he gave me a thumbs up. And that was, like, you know, very special for me and my son.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And then another time, I had my daughter with me, and we were at Starbucks, and he walked in with his family. And, yeah, man, he was, you know, they sat in the corner. I sat right next to him. I had my phone on me. I put my phone on the table just, you know, to show him, like, hey, I'm not here to take pictures of you or your family. And I didn't say nothing to him because he's with his family, and I didn't want to, you know, bother him. And as we're walking out, I'm holding my daughter. And, you know, he had a daughter at the same time. They're about the same age, the little daughter. They're
yep.
three now.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was like a year and a half. And as soon as we're walking out, you know, he's like, hey, man, how old is she? And I'm like, you know, she's a year and a half. And he's like, man, she's a cutie pie. She's a cutie pie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Your daughter, same thing, bro. You know, she's a cutie pie as well. And we kind of just had a little small talk. So I'm just thankful that, My kids got to, you know, see
it's
him
amazing.
In person.
You ran into him. You ran into him three times.
it was a little bit more than that, but a lot of other times, you know, I just didn't have the guts to go up to him. I was just a little nervous and scared.
Of course.
Because I didn't, you know, just don't want to bother him and that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Rod. We're wrapping up here. Give me a second. I appreciate you sharing those stories there. All right, just a couple things I want to say. So, like I mentioned, tomorrow, start tuning in. Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, they'll start at 6 a.m., and we'll go all through the day again. I got 6:30 to 9 o'clock tomorrow. I'll do Lakers talk, so you guys can be a part of that. By the way, if you guys miss any part of this show, this will go up on my podcast. So Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. We'll put the full 2.5 hours up so you guys can catch anything that you didn't get. So you guys can obviously do that. Quick thank yous to Laura Roma Lopez and Michael Funches and Jesse Lopez. So everybody that's kind of helped out behind the scenes here. Look, we'll continue to try and take very, very, very small steps forward. You know, obviously this is a tough time for everybody. It really is. But I appreciate you guys calling in and sharing some of those stories. It's, you know, an honor to have a microphone in front of me and, share some of my stories and to also, talk with you guys. So appreciate you guys tuning in. This is 710 ESPN.
Again, my condolences to Vanessa and the lovely daughters, Mama and Papa Bryant. Kobe had two sisters that were very beautiful. And, you know, our heart goes out. But I'm with you, Reggie. It's time for us to celebrate this man. He was already celebrated, but, you know, knowing Kobe, like me and Mr. West know Kobe, you know, he don't have time to stop and slow down.
Right.
He said, keep it going.
Yeah, gentlemen.
Keep it moving.